All right, well, let's turn in our Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Philippians. To the book of Philippians, and we're going to go to the last chapter, and we're at the last, almost, of the last chapter. Not quite there, but we're moving in that direction. And good congregation tonight. Thank you for being here. That's always an encouragement to a preacher's heart. And I believe pleasing to the Lord as well. So thank you for being here, and we'll begin our business meeting here in just a little while. Also, one of the reasons we're abbreviating the service too, as those who are visiting may not know this, that the Mintzes, Brother Mintz has been on staff here for a lot of years, and Mrs. Mintz has been cleaning. She's part-time and he's full-time, or was, but her mother passed away, and the funeral is going to be tomorrow at 1 o'clock here at the church, 2 o'clock. 1 o'clock is visitation, I'm sorry. And 2 o'clock will be the service. And so I understand that there are some ladies after the service tonight who are planning on staying and tidying things up, getting things ready to go for the funeral tomorrow. So we're going to do the best we can to let you out before midnight and make sure you have plenty of time to do what you need to do. And so thank you for that. So here we are in Philippians chapter 4. Now, last time I gave out the little handout on whatsoever things are true, honest, just, and so forth. Think on these things. We will probably come back to that another day down the road a ways. That is a very, very important study. I've done a larger study of just that one subject and going into a lot of detail on how those apply to an individual's life, every one of those, whatsoever things are true, all right? What does that mean? Okay, we kind of went through that last time, but what does that mean? But the expanded study on that goes the next step, and it says, when I do this, when I'm thinking of whatsoever things are true, how is that posturing me for being used of God, for growing in the Lord, for all the positive things that God has in store when I am disciplining my mind to think of those things that are true? And then it goes the next step. What if I don't do that? What is that by default positioning me for? So I may not choose to get into whatever it is that's a consequence of not thinking of those things that are true. I just take whatever's there and whatever the reason, I just gravitate to that, so it's no big deal, all right? So when God says through the Apostle Paul, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are righteous or just, and all those things, think on these things, because he says, if you do these, the way you see it there, and the peace of God, is just before verse 8, verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall, here's the reason, keep your hearts. Talked about it last time. Garrison your hearts around. Protect it from without, that which is without, and protect that which is within. Does two things at the same time. So the expanded version that we'll look at a month or two or six from now is taking that apart a little bit further and then coming to a final conclusion over here to the far right for each one of these. So that by the time you finish that, it develops a philosophy of life. If I do this and I discipline my mind, because an undisciplined mind for a Christian, you remember the top of the chart had a funnel and it was called my universe of available thought. So I can think about anything. I can think about bad stuff. I can think about good stuff. I can think about biblical principle. I can just think about anything in the world. But if I discipline myself, whatever comes into my arena of thought, then it's my responsibility. If I say this reverently, not the Lord's, it's my responsibility at the command of the Lord to discipline my thought that anything that's contrary to biblical principle, anything that violates, let's put it that way, anything violates biblical principle, that I immediately am casting down imaginations and every evil thing. Immediately I am rejecting anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit so that it doesn't even have to go through the rest of the funnel. The Lord's given me the insight, you would say, that, okay, that's not true, honest, just, level of just, think on these things. So as we go through that, and it may be a good while, so I hope you'll do it on your own. That's all I did, is I went in after that study, because I could find my mind gravitating over here, or just wasting time over there, or whatever it was, and I thought, how in the world am I ever going to discipline my thought life? And the Lord helped me to put that study together for me,
And you can do the same thing and just say, okay, the devil, the Bible says that the battle of the life, of the Christian's life, is in the mind. Romans 7, 23 and 24. It's right there. The Bible calls it a war. And it says that there is a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We've talked about that many times. And the secret to winning that war is just saying, all right, if it pleases the Lord, I want to think about it. If it doesn't please the Lord, why would I want to think about that? So that's what it's going at. Now, if you'll go back with me, just backward just a little bit, verse number 4, because it's relevant for what we're going to say tonight. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he says in verse number 4, now remember, this is not chapter and verses as it was originally written. This was just sentences and sometimes paragraph type things, but mainly sentences. And so verse 4, why don't we say it together? It's a short verse. Would you say it with me? And it reads, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, would you do it with me one more time? Rejoice in the Lord
always.
And again I say, rejoice. All right? Now notice what he says after that. Let your moderation, we talked about that, gentle forbearance. In other words, it's not like sometimes you're driving up on a road and you see it at the last minute. And I know you never do that, but once in a while, I do that. And I'm thinking about whatever else I'm thinking about. And then all of a sudden, Snortsky Drive is there. And I'm supposed to turn right on Snortsky Drive. And so I go, and I turn in there. You know, when it's safe to do it that way. But I turn in safely that way. But nonetheless, it's an abrupt change. Sometimes there are Christians who live their lives in abrupt changes quite regularly. That when they're at church, they're driving this way. But in the car on the way to church, it wasn't that way. It was over here, and they come to the church parking lot. Hello, it's so good to see you. They got their Bible under their shoulder or whatever under their arm. Or maybe it's how they treat their family. Maybe it's whatever way. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, Paul's going to get to that here in just a minute, where it applied to him. He had to live what he preached. And he is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation, your gentle forbearance, things that come up and they're bumps in the road, as some would say, that instead of panicking and going, what am I going to do? How am I going to go about that? And we all do that from time to time. I do, you do, we all do. But the more we follow, think on these things, and rejoice in the Lord, no matter whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, we're saying, okay, God's in control. And there is a, what's the word? There is a blank way to respond to every setting in life. Anybody remember the word?
Righteous.
Righteous is exactly right. There is a righteous way to respond to every setting in life. For Randy Bray and for you as well. Now, a lot of times we have those bumps in the road where we have to stop and let the Holy Spirit remind us, okay, there's a righteous way to respond to this. There's a fleshly way to respond to this. There's a biblical way to respond to this. And when we do, we can legitimately rejoice in the Lord always, knowing not necessarily the setting is good, maybe even very challenging. It may mean no food on the table. It may mean no gas in the car. But nonetheless, okay, Lord, you know about this. You know where I need to go. You know what needs to happen. I'm going to trust you. When you and I do that, it makes a big difference. All right, now with that in mind, rejoice in the Lord. Let your moderation, not just yanking this way and yanking that way, letting circumstances and emotion drive how we exhibit our walk with the Lord and our testimony before others and the peace and joy that we desire of the Lord as we rejoice in the Lord always. Now, with that in mind, with thinking on these things, let's turn the page, if you will, not quite for me, verse 9. He says, those things which ye have both learned, okay, so he's been teaching them all through this letter, and received, okay, they've accepted it. Okay, yes, I see. The Apostle Paul has his finger on the pulse of God in this. This is what God's heartbeat would have for my life, all right? So those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, all right, now here it comes to Paul, and seen in me. And seen in me. Oh, wow. Now that's a challenge there. As Paul is writing to these people whom he loved and spent time with them, Why, he was there when he met Lydia by the river and the other women who didn't have a synagogue to go to in Philippi. And so that's where their church got started. And then he met the Philippian jailer. I mean, he had a captive audience, so to speak. And the Philippian jailer, the Bible says, and all his family got saved. So as you and I go through those kinds of things, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the next word? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now this is not peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying this is something that is a new setting, or maybe you've been in sin, or maybe you've been whatever, and now all of a sudden you have peace with God because you've gotten your hearts right with God. He's not saying that. He's saying when you choose to rejoice in the Lord always, especially in those tough times, when rejoicing in the Lord is a matter of the will and commitment and conviction. This is not easy to rejoice. And I'm not rejoicing necessarily in the crisis. We don't have to do that. He says, rejoice in the Lord because He is the God of the crisis. He can walk us right through it. He can navigate the waters, so to speak, as maybe someone going down a river and the water level is down and you know there's big stones and rocks and submerged trees and things like that. And if you don't know where the canal is, you're going to go aground. But when you know the captain of the ship and the ship says, or the boat that you're driving, and you know where that canal is, and you may see some stones beginning to surface, and you may, but wait a minute, no, that's, I knew that was only 4 feet deep. And I know the canal is 11 feet deep. And so he goes this way, and he goes that way, and he goes that way. When you and I understand that we can genuinely, with credibility, go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm scared, I'm hurting, I'm in need, but I'm going to choose to rejoice in you. And I'm not going to jerk around with just abrupt movements. I'm going to just trust you to see me through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when we do that, and we're going to get to it here in a moment. Here we go. You ready? Notice what he says. Verse 10. After saying the God of peace will be with you if you follow, if you learned, you received, you do these things. The God of peace shall be with you. Now let's look at verse 10. Now we're going to look at Paul's setting. He said, but I rejoice. There's that word. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Well, now wait a minute. That's not all it says in this chapter. Skip on down, if you will, with me, please, to verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, here we go, no church communicated with me as concerning the giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, here is Paul. Let's go back to verse number 10. But ye lacked opportunity. They would have given, but they couldn't. They didn't have it. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. Here we go. For I have learned. Well, let's see. We just saw that word, didn't we? Yes. Verse 9. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. What did he learn? In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's easy at all. Oh my, we've all been through those kinds of settings. I've probably given you all of mine, but I could give you illustration after illustration after illustration of where it's been the end of the road as far as money, or it's been the end of the road as far as health, or it's been the end of the road as far as whatever it was. And we were bumping right up against that deadline. We were bumping right up against whatever it was. Not any food on the table. You've heard that 14 times, I know. But it's as real to me as though it happened yesterday. Just standing there or sitting there at the table with my first wife holding hands. And she was expecting our first son, David. And just saying, Lord, you know we don't have any food in the house except for that one can of stew that's no good. And Lord, you said we wouldn't have to beg bread. And Lord, I've gotten all the pop bottles up alongside the road I could find to get money to put kerosene in the heater. We've got the kerosene. We can make it through the night, but we don't have any food. And before the Lord, before I finish that prayer, knock at the door. And again, I know it's old stuff for you, but it reminds me that whatever state I am, there I have learned. I have learned that you can trust the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here. And we may know it academically, but when we are thrust upon a setting in our life, and it may have nothing to do with money, it may have nothing to do with health, there's a gazillion different areas in which we can come just broadsided of something that just the devil tells us, you're all by yourself. You're gonna fail. You're gonna this, you're gonna that, you're gonna the other, What else do we expect him to say? What else do we expect our old flesh to put in 3D and surround sound in our minds where the battle is? But when your heart makes that commitment and you say, okay, Lord, we're in this together. Here are my hands. I'm going to go at this and I'm not going to do it kicking and screaming. Well, that's what he is saying. Now, let's go back to the text. Verse 11, now I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. How? What's the commentary on that? I know, here's what he's learned, I know both how to be abased. Now, how would he know that? Because he had been. And he had to trust the Lord. When people were walking on him, when people were just saying, you're not worth anything, when he had the demon-possessed woman that would walk around, and as Paul would be preaching Christ to the mob around, and she's supposing to add to his affliction, would go, yes, yes, believe in Jesus, just like he's saying. And everybody else knows she's demon-possessed. And she's hoping that by doing that, people will just go away. Okay? It may be in some other way that he's been abased. He says, I speak in respect of one, for I've learned. All right, verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Here's the key. There's a righteous way to respond to every setting in life, and this is what Paul is saying here. Everywhere, that's all inclusive. And in all things, all inclusive. I am instructed. Okay, there's where he's learned it. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Boy, that missionary journey's tough. I mean, going through what we call Turkey today, that's not necessarily a thoroughfare that's a good, just easy traveling or whatever it is, especially in that day. And in Macedonia, where this is, I mean, he'd been up through there and going all around Asia Minor and getting up to Macedonia above the Aegean Sea and going down to Greece and all of that. It's not an easy road to go. Usually there's some that the Romans put in, but by and large in the back countries and the twin cities, and the tri-cities of Lystra and Derbe and one other, I can't remember what that one is, but he is saying, I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here is the secret, verse number 13, you know it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians is a book that you and I ought to read on a regular basis, because it is so practical. Now, it may not get into how many toes were on the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and what those 10 toes represent, kings or whatever. It may not be a lofty study of some great theology or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean to diminish that. But what I'm saying is Philippians is just, in a way, it's like this jacket. Okay? Years and years ago, it's been a lot of years ago, that I found this jacket. I don't even remember where I bought it. Did I have it when we got married? I did. Okay. It was years before that. I think, if I remember correctly, maybe you're wrong, if I remember correctly, it doesn't matter where I bought it. Anyway, I've had it for years and years and years, and it still wears really well. I like it. I like just everything about it. It's comfortable. Now, I have another jacket that I bought recently, and I got a really good deal on it. I got a really good deal on it. What I didn't realize is that it was made for slim. And it was my size, but slim. And it has a different way of a cut in it, somewhat like a teenager. And my cut is not exactly like a teenager. It's more like a ship astray. I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. And if I have a choice between a slim cut and whatever else it is and this one, guess where I'm headed? You've probably seen this jacket a lot. It's comfortable. It really is. I enjoy coming to it and wearing it. Because it was made well, it's lasted, it's not falling apart. I just really enjoy wearing it. Now that's what Paul is saying in the book of Philippians. It is full of practical instruction that rises to the level of doctrine that says, this is what you need to have in your life. This is what God wants in your life. And when you and I will be faithful in following that through, what a difference it makes. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Now, verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate in my affliction. We've already read verses 15 and 16. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. If you'll look at this, please. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know what Paul's saying? I want my influence to make a such an indelible impression on your lives for the cause of Christ, in your walk with the Lord, that Lydia and Philippian jailer and his wife and his children and the other ladies that were at the river and whoever else became a part of the church at Philippi. He said, the reason I'm ministering to you, I want your fruit to abound. I want God to use me in your life so that for the rest of your life, you will be able to witness what God can do, and He can do anything but fail. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm almost finished. Notice the personal pronouns there. There's three of them in succession. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then he gives the conclusion and says, greet one another. Dear friends, as you and I bring to a conclusion this study of Philippians, I've enjoyed it immensely. It has ministered to my heart. I trust that it has to your heart as well. But let me challenge you. Okay, you ready for a challenge? Now, if you already have your Bible study and you're in a particular Bible study, let me give you a challenge. This was the first book that I did this with. Somebody challenged me many, many years ago. And it was to read the book of Philippians through every day for 30 days. Read the book of Philippians through every day for 30 days. And then I went to James and I went to some others. Read the book of Philippians through every day for 30 days. Two or three things are going to happen. Number one, your Bible will automatically open to Philippians when you open it. All right? Because it's been there a lot. Number two, you will find yourself actually memorizing without really having to get the cards out and write them out and try to memorize that way. You'll find yourself becoming so familiar because you don't read it just to read the text. You're reading it to feed from the text. And you're taking it back before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm hungry today and feed me. Oh, Lord, thank you for what you've given me today. And when you do that, you'll find that it will become a part of your life. All right. We'll bring that to a conclusion. And with that, we will start our business meeting, which we have several things, but it will not take all that long. And those who are visiting would like to stay, you're welcome to. If you would like to be dismissed, you're welcome to do that as well. Now, if you are going to be dismissed, you have to put $100 in the offering plate. Okay. He's grabbing her, pulling her back. All right. All right. Brother Jim and sister, thank you for being with us tonight. And Brother Darren and Miss Carol, thank you for being with us tonight. It's good to have you folks with us. If you're glad they're here, say a good hearty amen. Amen. Boy, the Lord has brought in the visitors lately, and to God be the glory for that. It's good to have the new couple with us this morning, along with the Lomans that were back with us again, and we praise the Lord for that.